Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This is Nicole Hannah-Jones, creator of the 1619 Project from the New York Times Magazine. The project makes a case that you don't often hear in history textbooks, that slavery was foundational to America. So it wasn't surprising that we ignited a fierce debate among historians about these issues. But that's the power of the New York Times, to spark an important dialogue with bold, rigorous reporting that forces us to examine our assumptions. To learn more, go to nytimes.com/worthit.
Hi, I'm Imri, the host of the Wannabe Podcast, the podcast that takes you from where you are now to where you want to be in 30 minutes or less. This week, I'm joined by brand and marketing expert Priska Moyesa. Remember, we are going live on Saturday, June 2nd for the Brand Builders Masterclass. We'll be sharing all of our growth secrets, how we launch successful video and podcast content, how you can get paid for your ideas, and how we juggle social media with our J-O-Bs. Visit wannabelive.eventbrite.co.uk. This week, you voted for doing less for more. Priska and I cover whether it's realistic to do less and gain more. We share our method of prioritizing and what's on our to-do lists, delegating versus DIY, and most importantly, how you can increase your rates without increasing your workload. This is a good one. Let's go.
Hi, Priska. How are you?
Hi, Imri. I'm very well. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm feeling very jazzed. Jazz hat. No one can see you
I'll
doing
do this
it.
Way.
I don't know how to
this
do it.
This is Spirit Fingers.
What's Spirit Fingers?
Have you
what's
not watched Bring It On?
Yeah.
Not like this. Like this. They were the same hands. Like he did the same thing. I was like, sir.
Wasn't that the joke?
Yeah. Oh, that was such a Gabriel Union.
So anyway, this week's topic. We are here to talk about doing less for more.
Who chose this? The public.
They voted for that, even though I really wanted to talk about books that I like.
Maybe the next month we should pick our own.
We should.
Yeah, let's pick
one
our
day
own.
We
for the last,
it's
our last one of season one.
No, it isn't. I told you July.
Shimmy yow.
We've got June and then
okay,
we've got
so
July.
July will pick our last.
Maybe for the last one, we'll release the live.
Okay.
So then June would be the last one.
Okay.
That way we can do something. But yes, doing less or more. You guys like to pick hard subjects for people that struggle with things. So I feel personally afflicted by this choice. So is it realistic? Can you do less things and gain more?
Shall I tell you why that is realistic? Because it happens. There are people that work for companies that get paid a lot of money. Can I swear on this?
Yeah.
That do jack shit.
When I saw the title, I was like, I'm just thinking of some C-suite manager that just delegates
that
all the work.
They do fuck all. And they get paid a lot of money. So, yes. However, the level that you do less, now that's the question.
Yeah, I would say especially in that particular example, those individuals tend to have more responsibility. So if they are doing less and their team isn't picking up that more, things can go terribly wrong and it actually will fall on their head. So the responsibility may go up, but the actual workload goes down. In other examples, like if you're building for yourself.
Okay.
Or you're freelancing, you're consulting, or you're just generally self-employed, so you are basically responsible for your own output. Can you input less and gain more? I mean, I would love to meet the person that's mastered that.
Again, I would love to meet the person that's mastered that. When you're freelancing, there's either two things you could do that's smart. Not smart. There's either two options. First option is what happens to most of us is we do a lot for less.
Yeah.
Or we get what we consider a lot in comparison to what we've had before, but so we're okay with doing more because it's like, I've done more than this for less.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or you can get paid a lot of money and then outsource some of the work for much less so that you're making more.
Nice. So definitely it's possible.
Yeah.
We haven't done it.
Yeah.
But no. Those are the possibilities.
And I enjoy what I do. I do marketing, so I enjoy it. So I do more by default because I get so enthralled with the process. Like it's,
yeah.
You know, when the work excites you that you're like, oh, I can do this, I did, da, da, da.
Yeah.
So I end up having to double back. Like I end up having, double down, sorry. End up having to tell myself, no, I need to not give all of this to the client because I've done more than they've even asked for.
Yeah.
So it's very rare, but those two options that I gave, they're strategic ways of doing less for more.
I agree. I think the only time I've ever done less for more, it's so really, like, I'm so used to saying doing more for less. Because like supermarkets, like everything tells you that you should be getting more stuff you should get more for less. And yet, but you want to do less. It's a very confusing mindset. But I don't think I've ever actually had like a proper time. I'd say only when I feel like I've charged my appropriate rate.
Yeah.
To do the work the work at its value. So I know what I'm worth. And when I have charged at that rate, I genuinely feel like I'm not that I'm necessarily doing less, because I don't want it to seem like I do less work and you're overpaying me. You're paying me appropriately, but I feel like I'm doing the appropriate amount of work for that. Whereas there's been other times where someone would require me to do probably the same amount of work at less value.
Yeah.
So, and it's my bad for saying yes to that amount anyway, but for the equivalent amount of work. So I always feel like in that scenario, it's kind of when we were talking about building your team and not paying people at a fair rate. Like I feel way less excited about the work. I don't want to put my all into it per se, because you're paying me less money than what I know this is worth. And I know it's worth that my day rate, for example, or my regular day rate. So I find that like in that situation, I always end up feeling like I'm doing more. And I'm not getting, I'm doing more and I'm not getting more. So I'm just doing more for less. That's where I sit on that.
You know what I've had, in one of my old jobs, I was definitely getting paid more to do less.
When you think back on it, there's probably been times where you're like, you gave me this and I did nothing. Like, great.
And the more you do something, the quicker you get at it as well.
True.
So then eventually you're thinking, this thing that took me the whole day to do takes me half a day. And if you spread that across a full day, a full work day, you are doing less for more.
That's true. So that is a really good point. There are some things that I know I'm just really good at. And so I will happily.
Yeah. Yes. How much?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's fine. I will spread that out across the day. Yeah. But the output's the same. The result is going to be the same. I wanted to read a quote by Warren Buffett real quick about this very subject.
My guy.
Do you like him?
I like his money. I like how much money he's good. I like business people. I do.
He said the difference between successful people and really successful people is that really successful people say no to almost everything.
I get what he means.
I hear that. I am guilty of saying yes often.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting better at saying no.
Mm-hmm.
But the key thing to doing less for more. Is that you have to prioritize what you're doing and say no to opportunities that either do not pay you or will not reap long-term benefits. So I tend to say yes to things that I think will either lead to more exposure or I'm going to be in a room with people that I actually want to meet or connect with.
I've got something to say about who you know. And somebody who I respect very dearly said this to me. He was like, I was like, yeah. One time I was complaining about, yeah, like your network is your net worth. And as much as I believe that your network helps, he was like, yeah, but those people needed a huge network because their work wasn't good. And I was like, mic drop, which is something I just wanted to slide in there to all my freelancers out there, which means just work hard and be very, 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 very good at what you do, that you can say no to things because you're so good at what you do and all the great things that aligns with what you want will come to you.
I'm still triggered off the their work's not good.
He's a very wise man.
You know what? That's not even, that isn't even a lie. A lot of hot mediocrity passes through doors because people just happen to know someone.
Mm.
Yeah. And yeah, I guess that's like the whole argument around meritocracy. I wanted to talk about our to-do lists of things, if we have them.
I do have one, actually.
I know you have things.
There's like 12 things on it at the moment.
Wow.
And I've done 0.5.
Okay, well, was recording this one of those things?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, wow, no. Okay.
Yeah, this is, why did I say this is that many times? This is natural. So, like, it's in the calendar. It has to be done. So it's not a to-do. It's like, it's done.
See, already. That's an interesting method because you've got things that, like you said, it's like it has to be done.
Yeah.
Versus things on the to-do list, which I guess what... you ain't gonna die if they don't get done, type vibe. Is that how you prioritize your list?
Not that I'm not gonna die, but I could find myself doing it subconsciously in a different way. That doing it how it's written isn't gonna, yeah, it's not that deep. But these are things that if I do would help something. Okay. That doesn't even make sense.
No. I don't feel like any clearer on your process than I was before.
I need to do them. I have a to-do list of things that should get done. Okay. That should get done. And my calendar is what has to be done.
Okay. So you have a calendar, which is these are my things that I'm doing.
Yeah.
One way or the other, they're getting done. And then the other side is the to-do list, which kind of either enhance or complement
what needs
to be done.
There we go.
Cool.
There we go.
I had to adopt a system that works because I'm really disorganized. I said I was a ball of chaos and you told me I wasn't. I'm like, I actually am. People don't understand how disorganized I am in life. I keep things in my head. So roughly I know I'm doing something today. I just won't know what it is and I'll forget. But I just know like something's happening on Saturday. That is literally how I live my life. Something is happening on that day.
Yeah.
So now I have a calendar which my assistant updates for me with recordings. Like one thing I cannot afford to forget is recordings.
Yeah, you cannot.
So my own personal calendar or to-do list is now something I do manually because I tried to bullet journal and various other journaling systems and they don't work for me. But it is the, is it like the rock, the pebbles and the sand method? So you know there's that professor that says he held up like a bag of sand, a bag of pebbles and a bag of big rocks and he's like, do you think all of these things can fit in the jar? And they were like, how would you put them in? And then people were like, oh, I'll put the sand in first and then it didn't work. So the big pebbles are like the must-haves, the must-dos. These are the things that are unavoidable. I have a meeting. I have to show up for that meeting. I have got to go to my freelance job on this day. So these are the unavoidable, kind of like what you said with your diary. Those all go in first. I have like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all laid out. And then all the big things go in. And then the pebbles are like, what time do I have? These are kind of like not massive. They're not the priorities, but they are things that probably should get done this week.
Yeah.
If I don't send that invoice, I ain't getting paid. So I have to send the invoice. Things like, oh, if I need to make this particular website live or this page live or this blog post needs to go up. And then you've got like the sand, which is, I should probably go to the gym, which is not a priority for me personally. So
it better be.
No, it ain't. And it won't.
It ain't. She said it ain't.
Or me posting to Instagram, which also, funnily enough, is not a priority to me. So things like posting on socials.
That's on my to-do list, like posting on the page and it's like an article. But
I'm not going to die if that doesn't happen and nothing massively will... My business will not implode if I do not do that thing. So the sand is kind of like the last thing. If there's room in the calendar, then I'll be like, oh, okay, now I can fit in I can post on this day, or I can schedule some stuff to go out. So that's kind of how I've been prioritizing. And that's helped me, because basically the whole idea is that you brain dump everything that you think you need to do anyway.
On your to-do list,
And then you start prioritizing it.
Exactly.
In priorities, slightly less priorities, and then things that I would just like to achieve that week.
Yeah.
And that's really, it's massively helped me.
It is
helpful.
Figure
out my week. And just really look at like, it felt like so many times I've done it when I actually do remember to do it. I'm like, wow, I felt like I had a lot to go on this week, or like I didn't have any time. And what you do find is that there is more time than you are aware of.
Yeah.
And actually, if you follow it, I've managed to like get like work done that I didn't know I could have gotten done. So it is very, very useful in that regard.
This is Nicole Hannah-Jones, creator of the 1619 Project from the New York Times Magazine. The project makes a case that you don't often hear in history textbooks, that slavery was foundational to America. So it wasn't surprising that we ignited a fierce debate among historians about these issues. But that's the power of the New York Times, to spark an important dialogue with bold, rigorous reporting that forces us to examine our assumptions. To learn more, go to nytimes.com/worthit.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
You like to delegate, or do you prefer to do it yourself?
Oh my gosh, delegating is hard.
It is, isn't it?
It's so hard.
Control freaks, that's
and
why.
I am a perfectionist. I say it and my words make it sound light. I have issues. Like, I have issues.
I'm scared.
Like, I will zoom up a video and I'd be like, that looks a little bit pixelated. But in reality, it's probably okay.
Wow.
Like, I am a perfectionist. So I know that if I do it, the standards are on point because it's my standards.
You did it.
And I know that if I delegate it, it may not be to my standard. And then when I want to give feedback, I'm going to be like, how it should be. And that person may not receive it well, because no one really likes being told when they no one likes being criticized, let's be real. And I've learned over the years to be better at it and criticize. Always when you do criticize, make sure that you offer an alternative. One thing I learned that eases it. However, no one really people don't really like it. So it's hard. It's difficult, and I have to delegate 5 days a week, Monday to Friday. And yeah, it's a challenge.
How are you overcoming that challenge, Fresca?
You know, I love people by nature, so I'm always like, okay, so I've got some feedback on this thing. I'm such a weirdo, but I'll be like, okay, how do you prefer I say this to you? How should we have this conversation? Like, I'm an awkward person. Which method would you prefer? Would you prefer I write in a Google Doc and then you read it? Would you prefer I send it via email? Would you prefer a phone call? Would you prefer a voice note? Would you prefer that offer an alternative, which I always like to do? Like, I always ask people how they would prefer to receive the information and then try and meet them where they are. So that even if when I give the criticism, they know that my intentions are good.
Okay. I definitely adapt to who I'm speaking to. Yeah. I won't necessarily ask per se. I guess I can generally sense it. I'm way harsher with FA, for example, because I know him. So,
but that's the problem with us people sometimes is when we're so used to others, not that we lose respect, but like there's not really a boundary anymore. Yeah. And this is the reason why it's easier for long relationships, like friendships and stuff like that, to break, because we just like think, yeah, I'll talk to you anyhow.
Anyhow, yeah. I mean, FA does not like the way I speak to him at all. I have not got the time. I'm just like, what is this? My voice notes are just, and sometimes I've literally been recording voice notes on the street. Like, I'll be listening, like, what the heck? And I'm recording, I'm like, I can't send that. And I'm like mentally checking myself because I know. Yeah. I know he's not going to fix it because he's now got a rebellious spirit in
him.
Yeah,
yeah.
And he will, but I think willfully.
I think with men, like, sometimes it's more being defensive, you know? And so it's like less about, they could understand what you're saying, but maybe they're rejecting how you've given it.
Yeah, that is so real.
That happens.
That does happen. He was just like, I know what you're saying, but I don't want to.
I don't want to listen to you.
I don't want to hear it from you. Has anyone else said it? I might just start getting people to say it. Just
right, okay, like go on YouTube and search this then. And I've done that before. Okay, send it to, like, I've literally been like, send it to this person then and tell me what they say. You know, it's like the anger, like crawling through your fingers. Yeah. But it's hilarious nonetheless.
The point is, just like you, I'm a massive perfectionist. Sometimes they're gonna listen back to this, these women. I've had, because obviously I have my assistant who does like some of the stuff for me, and it is a conversation around like, oh, can we just fix this? And I know actually half the time I'm working, so the reason I have her is because I work on the days that she's working for me. So I'm literally like, half the time my emails are like, duh, 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 and I forget to say like, hi, how are you? Like,
yeah, or and please. Yeah.
And all of those kind of common courtesy. So it is like a mental like switching over. If I don't like something, generally speaking though, just to avoid conflict, because I am non-confrontational, which a lot of people may not know about me, or maybe they do. I'm really non-confrontational, like disgustingly so. I will avoid it. I will just fix it myself. I will just go through and I'll just be like, I'm just going to change these things, because in the grand scheme of things, especially with like FA, if I can't change anything in audio, I don't know how to do it. But some other stuff like around, oh, this isn't done, I will just go and fix that email, or I'll fix that draft. Just because the time it's going to take for me to work up the courage to say something to you in the way that you're going to like, to then fix, better you just see the change and understand this is where I want it to be. I've done that before. But yes, in terms of, if you want to do a lot less, you definitely need to be open to giving up control and recognizing that sometimes the way someone else does it, maybe it's not to your standard, but will the output or the result be the same?
Yeah.
And that's something I've had to accept, is did that one thing that I really don't like, did it dramatically impact someone's listening experience?
Yeah.
Or were there complaints? Was someone like, oh my God, this was horrible to listen to, or I don't understand why you included this one line? Because obviously
that
I'm going to be more...
That doesn't happen, and it rarely happens, but rarely. We think it does because we're crazy.
Yeah.
We're crazy perfectionists.
Yeah.
And that's why it happens.
In my head, I'm like, 15 people have listened to this already and I just don't like how... No, it's really not that deep. Typically it's just about relinquishing that control, and that is an ongoing lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
That is so real. I'm so glad that we had that in common. final thing. Can we increase our rates without increasing our works? Increasing our workload? How, when, and why should we do that?
Yes, you can increase your rate without increasing your workload, because it's about the amount of value you give to the person you are charging. the client, whatever. So the way you do this, usually there's a break in the project, but you like it's very hard to be on a retainer.
Yeah.
And then say, like, it's very hard for them to be on a retainer and then say, I'm going to change the price and this happens next month. It's very hard to do that. So usually it's easier when there's a break, like you guys don't work together for like a month and then they come back and actually say, this is the reason why my price has gone up. This is the value that I bring. I've realized that these are the results that it has brought you. And across the board, I am increasing my rate to X.
Yeah.
It's easier that way. When you are on a retainer, I mean, a retainer is an agreed amount for a certain period of time. So that really can't happen until you're out of contract anyway. And then when you're out of contract, you still, again, have to have that conversation about this is the amount of work, this is the amount of people it does. Also, talk about the customer service that you offer. Hopefully you do offer customer service that isn't just limited to retail. Do you always have customer service when you are offering a service to a client? And highlight that, you know, those things as well. And that on top of it, what you're going to give them additionally. You know, additionally, I'm going to do this extra thing for you and let it be a thing that they can't like negotiate down and say, well, I don't want that. It has to be something that they can be like, actually, I could do with having that. Where, you know, may not take as much time as they probably think like it does. Yeah.
I can't remember who I was watching or listening to that said when you're adding value or when you're trying to, if you're increasing your rates and you're trying to add value, especially when you're wanting to increase your rate and do, not necessarily doing less, but you're working at the same rate, but for higher. They say it should be something that is free or easy for you to do. Like it should come naturally to you, but maybe you just didn't have it on your packages list before.
Exactly.
So you already do that.
Yes.
I'm the kind of I guess we're both very similar in that we will do all the extra stuff that we wouldn't even necessarily say. Like when I did some like a one day podcast marketing consulting thing. And I just did all this extra stuff. Like I researched the influencers that no one asked me to do that. I just did it. And I included it in that report and it was a very detailed report. And it probably was about a day. I probably did half a day's extra work.
Yes.
For just to include it in there. But I was like, I didn't say I was going to offer you that in the first place. And now you've got it. So now you know what it's like. So when I say next time, well, actually roughly this is what it's going to be. The next report you might get from me or the next client gets from me is going to be either slightly, won't include that at all. Or I say, this is what I will be including in it. And you didn't know that was part of the package because the original package never listed it as a value in the first place.
There we go.
And I always think it's easier to raise your rates when you're going after new people and using the people that, like you said, on retainers or you already have pre-agreed pricing with. Loyal is always nice to keep old customers loyal. I mean, if you were charging basement prices in the first instance, you definitely should just have the hard conversation like, my cake game has really stepped up now. So we're going to be talking about some more pricing.
Also talk about the market value as well. Like, like you can say this is the market standard. Like most people charge X amount per day. And you can go and say to them, you can go off and have a look at this as well. And you will find that this is actually what most people charge.
Yeah.
So
as long as you're not like going crazy with your pricing, people want like the familiarity. If you have a good relationship, and everything is working really well, and also it's a business. So technically, unless you're dealing with one-on-one people or really small businesses and small clients, in which case that's a whole different conversation. But if you're dealing with businesses, they're used to one rate going up, like all of their contracts and licenses, they go up year after year, you know, like.
I was just going to say that that people that understand business understand when someone increases their rates. They get it. Of course, they want justifications, but most people would understand it.
Yeah, it's not an uncommon thing at all. It's only when you're dealing with like really small businesses or small business owners, I would find that there's generally a little bit more, I don't want to say ignorance, but ignorance is the only word that comes to me. And it's not to be disrespectful. It's just that there's just things that people don't know when they're starting a new business that they will miss. They will not understand. And even with a good explanation, so building that into your process, Also, if you want to be doing less for more, having a really good onboarding strategy, please understand, and I get this with like even designers, if I work with a new designer, I find, and if anyone that hires me as well, I find it really frustrating when people don't understand what they've hired me for. But that's my bad. I need to do a better job. I need to understand that sometimes someone is hiring someone like me for the very first time.
Yeah.
Especially if it is a new business.
And you need to see yourself as a leader and as an educator as well. Absolutely. Sometimes we forget that our role isn't just to fulfill a service. It's also educating people on what the market is and what that service is as well.
Absolutely. So if you want to make sure you're saving time and saving yourself money as well, please make sure that you have like a really good, clear explanation process. Because for example, when I first hired a designer, now I know how to communicate with a designer.
Yeah.
I didn't have that process before. I was getting all kind of wrong images and I was like, this is not what I wanted. But like you learn that. And so it's on you as the service provider to actually sit down and say, this is what you're going to get from me. This is what I'm going to do. This is how it's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to do that almost every single... It's probably best practice to you're get into the habit of doing it every single time. Yeah, you're not... There's probably...
Stop.
Unless someone's been hiring a person like you their whole life or their whole career, you're probably going to have to explain that, especially if you work with smaller businesses. You're going to have to explain the process to them because they will expect especially if they hire a marketer or a social media person, people will expect actual miracles. And I'm like, I cannot deliver 1,000 people to you in like a day. Like, it's not going to happen. That's honestly not how it works. This is the long game. So yeah. You just get a really good onboarding process, especially if you get really clear on communicating that value.
Just to go off of that, when it comes to the services you offer as well, just make sure that you're a bit strategic with the way you do it. And what I mean by that is, for example, let's say you are offering extra, but you're paying less, you're charging less, sorry. Make sure that you be strategic and not mention it, but give it. So that when it does come to you increasing your price, if you know that's something you're going to do, then you can then bring it up.
Yeah.
So just plan ahead with the client you have. Don't just think this contract, think the contract after that. What would you like to offer them after that? And always optimize what you do so they don't just feel like they're paying you and then you're giving them a service. Always think, okay, I'm not only going to be here to deliver this service, but I'm also here to improve with you. So offer that as well. I guess it's not an action, but I guess it is an action, isn't it?
It is.
Kind of. But yeah.
So thank you, Prisca, so much.
Thank you for having me again.
I love, love, love Prisca. Make sure you are following her at Prisca Moyessa on Twitter and Instagram. Her feed is so positive and inspirational and the content is dope. If you want to hire her, visit moyessa.co. Don't forget, Wannabe is going live with Prisca for the very first time on June 2nd, and it won't be any normal live show. So please join us for the Brand Builders Masterclass this Saturday to get your career, your finance, and your brand all up to speed. Get tickets at wannabelive.eventbrite.co.uk. This is probably like one of the very few times I'm going to go live, so make sure you're there. If you like how this podcast is made and you think that you can do what I do, then you need to reach out to the Shout Out Network, which has a whole brand new logo, a brand new website, a brand new everything. Check it out at shoutoutnetwork.co.uk. Be sure to follow Wannabe on Twitter and Instagram at Wannabe Podcast. And if you're enjoying this podcast, please leave a review on iTunes, or if you don't have time to write anything, just hit the stars and leave a rating. Thank you so much for listening. Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.